So that's a good looking baby, Sister Esther.
Thank you. I
Are you doing well?
am. Thank you.
Good, good, good. Well, apostolic greetings, everybody, in Jesus' name. We trust you're all doing well. And today is Zoom number two for 2024. It's actually part two of a two-part series that we've titled A Place Called There. I understand there's nothing new that the majority of you don't already know and practice in your daily life. However, as we said last week, I sincerely pray these first two sessions will serve as a catalyst in your quest to get clear direction for 2024. We realize these are the last days. And with the last days is promised a great ingathering and harvest. And I believe that it's going to be at a level that the church has never seen, never in its history. And with that, there's never been a more, at least from my perspective, there's never been a more exciting time to be the church. Not just be in the church, but to be the church. As some of you on this Zoom study know, that even in the midst of war or crisis, there is an amazing move of God that is sweeping our globe, and the church is growing worldwide. If this is your first time to join the study, either live or by recording, we're so honored that you've taken the time to be with us. Again, it's so good to see you all. It seemed like we were off for quite a while, but so good to see your faces, to read your names. Pastor Sam Panasamy, so good to see you, sir. And we've been praying for you. And if this is the first time, I don't see anyone on here right now that's first to the study, but if by chance you are, or you're watching this recording first time, we're honored, really honored that you've taken the time, to be with us. And as I say every week, if there's anyone that you think would benefit from these studies, please feel free to forward the Zoom link to them. I'm so appreciative of all the kind expressions, texts, emails that so many of you have sent, expressing how much you enjoy the link, or how much you enjoy the study, how much it's been a benefit. I get texts and emails almost every day from people who have watched it or was on it, and it confirmed what they've been either teaching or been taught. And it's just a great honor for me to know that so many of you have found value in this. So now, this is not a YouTube channel, so I don't get any credits if you hit the like button. So it's just good to hear it. It's just good to hear it. I guess I got just a little bit too much ego in me. It's good to know that you're helping somebody. So anyways, did I see Pastor Doji from Singapore? Come on. Oh, there you are. Sorry, sir. Would you, unmute? And would you pray over our study today? Would you just ask God to anoint us and to help us?
Sure, Bishop. Lord Jesus, we come before you once again. We know, Lord God, hallelujah, that you are on the move. You are moving in a special way in this time, in this age, Lord, even in this Bible study that we have, Lord. I pray that you will anoint Bishop once again, Lord, yes, as you have done before, Lord Jesus, that you will communicate to us, Lord, all of us that are here, O Lord God, your message, your direction. Ooh. Lord, I pray, God, hallelujah, that you will continue, Lord, to anoint him and us also, Lord Jesus, God, that we will, Lord God, be different after this Bible study. We will receive direction. And Lord, I pray that you will continue, Lord God, hallelujah, to bring to us, O Lord God, hallelujah, as we cooperate with you, Lord.
Yes.
The harvest in this end time, O Lord God. Thank you once again, Lord God, for this time. And I pray, O Lord God, that we will be refreshed, be restored, O Lord, and be strengthened, O God, hallelujah, in today's Bible study by your man of God today, O God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Doji. Thank you so much. Again, this is part two of the series we started last week, and it should be the final part, A Place Called There. A Place Called There. Let's reread the verses that we built our theme around for this series. If you have your Bibles, go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Pastor Sam, would you be able to read for us? Pastor Sam Panasami, would you be able to read for us if you would unmute? Just want to read two verses and then we'll read on, but I want to comment before we go to verse 14. Read 12 and 13 if you would, sir. 2 Chronicles 7, 12 and 13.
2 Chronicles 7, 12 and 13, okay. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain or command the locusts to devour the land or send pestilence among my people.
Pause right there, Pastor Sam. As I was just reviewing this morning these verses, the Lord just seemed to quicken something to me. It's probably not new to you. It's not new to me, but I just saw it in a way this morning. It just really smote me. I want you to think about what God said. Verse 13. He said, when I shut up heaven, not if I shut up heaven. When I shut up heaven and there's no rain. Or command the locusts to devour the land. Or send pestilence upon my people. I know we want to blame everything on the devil. But this is speaking something very specific. God in his omniscience. God in the fact that he knew all. Also knew they were going to sin. Not just did he know they were going to sin, but he was going to send judgment. Think about that for a moment. At the same time, it didn't stop his judgment. However, he wanted them to know his mercy is everlasting. This is so powerful to me. Watch this. Sam, would you go ahead then start at verse 14?
Verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will heal their, and will forgive their sin and heal their land.
Go ahead.
Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place.
One more verse.
Forever and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually.
Okay. For now I have, for now I have chosen and set apart this house that my name may be there forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually, never ending. Now, as we said last week, there is a very real place that God is inviting us to every day. And if we'll go there, he'll be there. I want to say that again. If we'll go there, he will be there. Now, as we begin part two, I want us to read an equally amazing portion of scripture from the New Testament. I'm going to go ahead and read verse Luke chapter 24 and starting at verse 45. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. I'm reading from the New King James. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise, pardon me, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of the Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. The word tarry literally means to sit down. The word until is an uncertain affinity. We don't know when it's going to stop. That's where God chose to pour out his spirit and bring his church to birth on the day of Pentecost. It was on a people who were willing to go to a place that he told them to and stay there until. I don't want to be too challenging here this morning, but let me just ask us a question. When's the last time we've went to our prayer closet and stayed there until? We didn't go with a watch looking at the time. We didn't go with a set agenda. We just simply said, here I am, Lord. And I'm going to stay until you release me. Just think about that for a moment. See, here's what I know. I can't go there for you. Now I can go and pray for you but I can't pray for you. And you can't go there for me. However, when we are willing to go there with a repentant heart and lay down our own plans, lay down our own agendas, that's when lives are changed. Addictions are broken. Marriages and relationships are healed. Direction is given. Gifts of the Spirit are imparted. Ministries and callings are born. That's what makes our personal altar become so powerful and so important, regardless of where that may be for you. It's there, God said, I will heal. I will hear. I will forgive. Every church and every ministry represented on this Zoom study today has been raised up to impact not just your local church, the city you're in, the nation you're in, the surrounding areas where you are located with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm looking at men and women of God with powerful anointings on your life, with callings, with promises, with mission. And if there's anybody that can't allow ourselves to become complacent about that place, it's us. Only God knows the numbers of people, the nations that have been impacted by the various ministries represented on this study. Only God knows what the future impact and influence each one of you will make globally. Only God knows that. But one thing is for sure. The only prayers I know that will never be answered are the prayers that have never been prayed. The only requests I know that will never be met are the requests that have never been made. The only big things, God-sized things that will never be accomplished are the ones that have never been believed in, asked for, and trusting God to use you to be who God's called you to be. Only God knows the future impact and influence each of you will make, not just in your local setting, but globally. To God be all the glory for every healing, for every miracle, for every person that's been born again because of your willingness to go there until God expanded your influence. Talking with Pastor Nick Strange just the other day, they just had some special services and some notable things that took place. Said lady in their church, literally, she had four lumps, growths, I believe, on her neck. And they prayed, and three of them literally disappeared, just left. There was still one more left. Pastor Nick said they prayed again, and they watched it just disappear, go away. That's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. Those are prayers. Those are things that happen. I learned a long time ago, unless I'm willing to lay my hands on somebody, unless I'm willing to speak that word of faith, unless I'm willing to allow God to open my voice and be used. I can't expect him to do it, but I've got to be willing to partner with him. But it's in that place called there that those very special things take place because of the anointing that God releases. Our ability to continue to be the church is dependent on how much we value the place called there. In the verses we just read, Jesus is alone with his 12 apostles. This is what's commonly known as the Last Supper. Just prior to this, however, not only did Jesus tell them that one of them would betray him, but also that he was going to leave them. Most importantly, he gave them a new paradigm that was totally foreign to their Jewish culture and their way of life. This new paradigm, however, would reveal if they were truly his disciples. Hear this, please. It wasn't their ability to perform signs, miracles, and wonders. It was, however, how much they loved one another. But here was their real challenge, and what I believe is our challenge today. Their love for each other was to mirror his love for them. I want to say that again. Their love for each other was to mirror his love for them. Let me read it. John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Now, if he would have just stopped right there, no problem. I got that. Love one another. It's the next statement, however, that challenges us. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. And then he takes it even a step farther. He really tells us just how valuable this new paradigm was. By this, all will know that you are my disciples. Did you see that? By this, by the way we love one another as he loved us, that's how others will know we're his disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, watch Peter's response. Verse 36 through 38. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Pause. I don't want to see any hands, any thumbs up. I don't want to even see a head nod. I just want to make a statement for you to hear. How many times have you made promises and you were absolutely certain when you made them, you would keep them? Only in a weak moment. Things were very different. Again, don't need any response. There's just one thing I know. We're all equal at the foot of the cross. Jesus said, answered him, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you've denied me three times." Going back to what Solomon, or what God said to Solomon, when I shut up heaven, let there be no rain. When I command the locusts to devour the land. In other words, Jesus understood the human weakness. We forget sometimes it was Jesus who said, "Pray that you enter not into temptation. For the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." I am not in any way justifying the weakness of our humanity. I'm just showing you Jesus knew it. He didn't withhold judgment because of it. But he wanted us to know that if we'd get back to him, we'd humble ourselves, we'd repent, we'd forsake the sins, he'll hear, he'll listen, he'll be there. I want to read the next three verses in John 14, verses 1 through 3. It's what I want us to take special note of, and what I believe God is saying to us all on this study. John 14, 1 through 3. "Let not your heart be troubled. Pardon me. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Watch this now. "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, let me give you an Ellis paraphrase of what I believe these verses are saying. First of all, don't be distressed by my absence. Just keep believing and doing what I called you to do. There will be times, my brothers and sisters, in our spiritual journey, in the mission God's called us to, where it appears he's absent. He's not there. He's turned a deaf ear, a blind eye. Told a story. I was teaching Sunday night in Stowe at our son's, where our son Joe pastors. And I was telling them how there was a time in my early ministry. We hadn't started pastoring yet. We were still there at the church in Stowe, actually. But it seemed like it was a fruitful year. What I mean by that, you know, there were, God was using us. We were preaching multiple places. People were getting the Holy Ghost. People were being healed. It seemed like when I would get in a pulpit, God would move mightily. The problem was that year, I didn't speak in tongues one time. You say, Bishop, how is that even possible? Oh, no, don't understand. Don't misunderstand. I could share or I could speak from memory the tongue that I knew I had when I received the Holy Ghost. We remember that. We can say those words. But to honestly say that I was able or that I was speaking from the unction of the Holy Ghost, that God was the one that was flowing through me when I was speaking those words. In honesty, I cannot say that. Now, maybe that doesn't bother you, but it bothered me. I was troubled. And I remember that night, I remember like it was yesterday. I knelt down at a front pew and I said, God, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what I've done. I don't know what's going on here. I don't understand this. But I'm not getting up from this place until I feel your presence again. And I know the Holy Ghost that's flowing out of me and the words that are coming out of me are from your unction. And not just my mind. Now you say, well, Bishop, that's a lack of faith. Oh, is it? I don't think so. I think there's something that's right about being right and knowing that we're not pretending and knowing that we're not fake, but that we're real. And I remembered, and it must have been at minimum an hour that I was on my knees. I was just reaching for God. And I'll never forget when that presence came over me. And it was just undeniable. Tears began to gush out of my face. And I began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And I don't know how long I flowed in the Holy Ghost. But then as it just kind of settled, and then I just settled down in my pew and I just bowed my head before the Lord. So thankful for that spiritual refreshing. And I heard the still small voice of the Lord say, now you know what it is to live by faith. Now you know what it is to live by faith. You see, we are so, those of us that are apostolic, we are so familiar with the emotional side of our experience. And we love that. We love that. Not minimizing that. But when we aren't feeling that, then what? When those goosebumps aren't there, then what? When that emotion isn't there, then what? One of the greatest lessons I learned over the years is that there is a difference in spirit and emotion. And while many times the Lord will move on us and we will feel it emotionally. Sometimes the spirit can be at work and there's no emotion at all. I remember being in Budapest with missionary George Sobolchi, and we were in a special meeting, and there were multiple pastors there at that meeting. And the Lord gave me a word for Brother Sobolchi. And I walked up to him. And I said, sir, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray very specifically for you. And you probably are not going to feel anything emotionally. But trust me, you'll know that it's God. And you will see the results. Wasn't too long after that, he and I and my wife took a trip to Ukraine. You remember that, Brother Vasily? When Brother Sobolchi came with me? And so we had quite a service, quite a time. And God greatly used him. And after the service that evening, he and I were together in our hotel room. And he looked at me and he said, Brother Ellis, he said, you remember in Budapest when you prayed for me? He said, I love you, I respect you, but I didn't feel a thing. And I did not expect what you said. I didn't expect it to ever happen. He said, but I need to ask you to forgive me. He said, because tonight, the very thing you told me would happen, happened. Thank you so much. I'm not making this about me. I'm just trying to tell you, don't be distressed when it appears he's absent. Keep believing. Keep doing what you've been called to do. Jesus' departure had a specific purpose. He said to them, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Literally, that means a spot limited to occupancy. In other words, it's different than just a location. Figuratively, it's an opportunity. What Jesus was saying to them, the place I'm going to prepare for you is specific for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Don't you get it? There's an opportunity right now because of what he did for us at Calvary. This special opportunity is made available to each one of us if we'll take advantage of it. There is a fresh invitation from God to meet him daily. And if we will, I tell you in the Holy Ghost today, he will be there. He will be there. It's a very real place. It's a very real opportunity to realign and reposition ourselves, to be overpowered for divine purpose and service beyond where you've ever been before. It's where his eyes, the center of his focus and attention will be. It's where his ears will be listening. It's where his authority is imparted. It's where his gifts are poured out. It's a place called there. And it's a secret place for you and a secret place for me. It's a divine opportunity that God has given to each one of us. If I've ever heard God, if I've ever heard from God correctly, and you judge this, there are people on this study, or maybe will be watching this later. You've lost your way. You've lost your desire. Your passion for God is not what it used to be. You've lost your desire to serve. You've lost your desire to give. You don't know why. And you've told God at the beginning of 2024, things will be different. This year, God, I promise things are going to be different. However, here we are, January 23rd. Not much has really changed. You see, the recent pandemic or the recent war or crisis that you're living in has left you fearful, reacting instead of acting. See, fear reacts. Faith acts. God would have us to act in faith and act in boldness. Again, I don't mean to make this so personal, but I just am trying to obey the Holy Ghost here right now. Some have even questioned why God isn't using you like he once did. Or why hasn't things broke in your local church like you thought it should? Could it be you've been deceived into devaluing the importance of that special place called there? That place of prayer that you once made the first priority of your life. But now it's been reduced to an occasional visit at best. Here's what I believe the Lord would have me say to all of us. I have prepared a place for you. However, you must be willing to occupy that place. If you will, you'll find me there with fresh anointing and fresh power. If you will humble yourselves and be willing to go there again, I will honor my word that I have spoken to you this day, and you will find me there. I have chosen that very special place to commune with my people. But it can't be in a crowd. It's got to be alone, individually. If you'll meet with me privately, I will reward you openly. Oh, the power of getting alone with God every single day. Will you unmute your microphone? Will you let your voices cry out in the name of Jesus? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, plant that fresh seed of desire and passion. Open our eyes and let us see again. Open our heart and let us feel again. Open our ears and let us hear again. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I rebuke every lie. Come against every demonic force that's been bombarding my brother and my sister. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to hear, to be willing to cry out, to be willing to spend that time. Lord, you said to your disciples so clearly, you didn't want us to be like the hypocrites. They love to be seen. They love to be heard. Lord, you want us to enter into our closets. And the Father that sees in secret, reward us openly. My God, we stand on that promise. Lord, you said if we would pray anything according to your will, that you would hear us. And then if you hear us, grant the petition that we ask of you. Oh God, let faith arise fresh and new. And let our enemies
hallelujah,
be scattered.
Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name
hallelujah.
Of Jesus. God, you know who it is.
That's
on this call today. Lord, I remember when the disciples heard you say to them,
hallelujah,
one of you is going to betray me.
Jesus.
And every single one of them said, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Lord, all of us have felt those weak moments enough to know we're vulnerable to the weakness of our flesh.
Jesus.
Lord, if we'll pray, if we'll go there, if there will be that opportunity we take every single day of our lives, you'll be there, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You'll be there, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. Lord, I thank you for these precious men and women.
Hallelujah.
For the anointing that rests upon their life. Calling, mission, for the nations that are represented on this study today. Lord, we're not many. There's not too many of us. But there's multiple nations on this call today, on this study. Lord, you knew who was going to be here.
Jesus.
You knew who was going to be here. You know. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord. Is there anyone that would want to share anything before we close our study today? Anybody feel?
Thank you, Bishop. I don't know why I feel to share this, but I was, it's been a number of weeks, probably before my Ukraine trip, actually. I was in prayer, woke in the middle of the night, came out to my living room to get out from the bedroom, not make any noise. And I felt like the Spirit of the Lord took me to kind of one of those places where you're introspective, looking inside and realizing in my academic journey, I had become, I think I talked to you about this, so it's been months ago, but my bookcase became more important to me than my prayer closet. It wasn't that I wasn't praying. It wasn't that I wasn't seeking the face of God in crucial moments, but there'd been an imbalance that he challenged in me. And one of the things he did was take me to Romans 8 and let me know that when the Spirit searches things, it doesn't just give us profound thoughts for messages, but it also goes down into the deep part of who we are and digs out the stuff that needs to be dug out. And that's a part of that prayer closet experience where he sits with us and his Spirit brings light to the dark places of our own heart about what our motives are, about why we do what we do and how we do what we do. And I think we all have those times and places, no matter how long we've served, no matter what we've done, no matter how long we've been in ministry, he says, hey, come away with me. I've got to sit with you in the heavenly place in my grace. And one of the things that he challenged in me was how I was starting to see some spiritual things as strange. Individual ministers that were a little different than I was or a lot different than I was, that were saying things differently, that were kind of out of the box. And I had this intellectual view of things and the filter wasn't right. And the Holy Ghost began to chide me about confessing some of how I felt and how I was talking about them behind their back. Not a lot of people, not a lot of times, but just enough to realize that my own journey was allowing my heart to be tainted in some way by some stuff I didn't even know was there. Mm-hmm. But he can come in those dark places, in those moments of privacy, and dig in and take out the things that need to be taken out so that you can see with new eyes. And I just wanted to share that with somebody today, that he's there in the secret place.
Wow. That's powerful, Pastor Scott. If you could see my desk right now, I've got, I think, 8-9 books, not counting multiple versions of the Bible, on my desk. I don't read a book starting with page 1 and go till it ends. I will read multiple books. I'll read one for a while, read another for a while. And I'm looking on this study today, and I think I know most of you, some of you very, very well. And I know that we have some tremendous teachers that are on this study every week. And as a teacher, you love books. You love information. You love to glean. But what Pastor Scott just said a moment ago, there is nothing more important than our prayer closet. God help us never to allow our bookcase to become more important than our prayer closet. And I know this, that if I've got to preach or I've got to teach, as much as I want to know and study the information, if I don't have that anointing, because God can pull things out of you through an anointing that he'll never be able to do just by reading books. So thank you so much. That was as much God as anything that's been said here today. Scott, thank you. Please pray for Brother Scott. He's going to be heading to Ukraine here in a couple weeks, making another trip there. So please, please keep him in prayer. Amen. Anybody else before we close? Good word. Anybody else? Brat Vasily?
Praise God for this time to have fellowship, Word of God, refreshing, and God renew us to continue.
Amen.
We're not finished yet.
Amen. Amen.
We will wait you.
Amen. Amen. God is not done with any of us yet.
Not yet, yeah.
Not yet. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Elder. Thank you so much. Well, again, we love you all. And thank you so much for taking the time to join the study. And please have a great rest of your week. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God bless you.